Why can't you see that? And before we get started, I see a bunch of fans going, so I'll make the best use of your time. Hey, I want you to join me every Wednesday night this month. The Lord placed on my heart to call us to a time of prayer. Great things are about to happen, and we're going to come together. We're going to believe God. We're going to pray. Listen, I used to have a hard time praying. I see people pray. I grew up in a church where they would pray, and they say, oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they'd pray for hours, just moaning, calling on Jesus. And I'd try to pray like that and just fall asleep. But I went in prayer with a list of what I was believing God for. And we're going to believe God this month for things to happen, great things to happen in your life. Join me every Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30 if you believe in God to do great things. Listen, we also had a family retreat that we'd planned for Chattanooga. And just due to a lack of interest, lack of signups, we're going to cancel that. But here's what I want you guys to do. The month of July, we're going to have Vacation Bible School for the entire church. We're going to theme it Family Reunion. It's going to be fun every single night. Great time to connect. So I want to see you out July as well. Amen? Here's what I want to talk to you about. Why can't you see that? It's from a book that I just wrote, just a thing from it. If you hadn't got it, I'd buy that book. I promise you, bless your life. If you don't like to read, you'll like reading that book. It's 85 short pages. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. But can I ask you a question here? Do you have somebody in your life who's full of potential? They're full of the best, but they got glaring defects in their life, and you want to have a serious conversation with them, but you don't know how because you don't know how they'll respond? If you know somebody like that, raise your hand. I'd like to see you. Come on. There's probably everybody in this room, right? Can I give you a somber thought? There's probably somebody that want to have that same conversation with you. I was reading a story of this guy who went to counseling. He said, my wife's getting on my nerves, and kids, they're always asking for something. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. Called him Doc. He said, I need some help because she's just wearing my nerves out. And he said, you're in good company. He said, I am. He said, your wife was just in here last week. She's having the same problems. There's no temptation or problem such as common to man. We're all going through something. But today I want to give you tools to have that conversation either with yourself or with somebody. Because there's glaring things you don't like. You can't see that. But all of us have blind spots that I'm going to help us to expose today. If you're a reader, there's a website called Wired.com, W-I-R-E-D, Wired.com. And there's a guy by the name of Thomas Goetz. He wrote this article about a feedback loop. And there was this neighborhood where they were trying to get people to slow down because they were hitting kids, they were hitting runners, and they was like, this is a problem. So they had the police there, and the police, you know, they were giving people tickets when they were flying through there. They put up the little sign, you know, it says slow children crossing and runners. That didn't really work. They put up a speed limit sign. That didn't work. Somebody came up with the idea, and it was going to be a significant investment in terms of money. They said, let's put a speed sign up. A speed sign is what you guys see on the screen here. And they were like, that speed sign is not going to work. And they were like, why is it not going to work? They said, for two reasons it's not going to work. All you're doing is showing people what they can see on their dashboard. You're reminding them of their speed, and they can look down at their speedometer and see how fast they're going. How's that going to work? And they said, there's no consequences. What's going to make them slow down? They didn't have cameras. You know, they got cameras now in Murfreesboro. You run us a red light, they're going to mail you a ticket. Never mind, you don't have to have no blue lights or nothing. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? Some of you may have got that mail. Yeah. They'll get your license plate down and mail you a ticket like I thought I ran it. No, we got you. There was no camera. There was no punitive consequence. They said, they're not going to slow down. We're showing them what they already know. You ever thought that in your mind? These people got to know that they have this problem. What is me reminding them of their problem going to help? Then there's no punitive thing that's going to happen as a result of them speeding. Guess what happened when they put this up? The same thing that happens to you when you see that sign. I slam on my brakes. I don't even know why. If it says 35, and they don't even put it up there like 70, they flash it as fast as they can, and you slow down. Here's what they found out. If you can, people are result-oriented, and if you can provide people with information about their actions in real time, if I can tell you in the moment or close to the moment and then give you an opportunity to change, it will push people towards better behaviors. So I'm going to show you how to give feedback, not you trifling, that type of feedback, but the type of feedback that helps people to make self-correcting actions. So here's what happens. If you have an action, you give information, and then you see reaction. Let me poll the house. Anybody got some kids that you want to be a little more responsible, want to clean up and appreciate? I work hard, and these Jordans just sitting on the floor right here. You have no idea. Even in relationships, I want you to appreciate what you have. Here's how it works. Just like the thermostat, it says 71, kicks in the whatever the unit is. It's supposed to bring it down like that. When you get feedback in the moment, you can correct. Let me show you what this feedback looks like, and I'm going to relate it to you in Scripture. Here's what happens. With everything that you need to change, there has to be evidence. You have to show, okay, this is what you're doing. You got to capture the data. You got to capture the behavior. It is no good if you tell somebody they're doing something and you can't give them a specific incident. That's why they said it doesn't work. They said this ain't working. Who is they? They may be lazy. They may be, you need to define what the specific incident is. You got to have evidence. Yeah. We're about to have a big argument in my house. I don't know if y'all ever have them being married. Me and Barbara, we're about to have a big argument. She's looking like, what? I'm fussing Isaiah, Isaiah's room, not cleaning. We go upstairs. You ain't eating no more in this room, Isaiah. Look at this stuff all over the place. I walk in the house. Barbara said, Jason, can you do me a favor? And I said, what's the favor you want me to do? She walked me in the room and showed me my side of the bed. I had papers. I had shoes. I had stuff all over the place. And she said, watch this. And I could argue with it because I got ready to bring up some stuff that I want to. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I got ready to bring up some unrelated stuff that I wanted to address with her. But I said, what are you talking about? And she pointed down like she walked out the room, dropped the towel. Evidence. You can't argue with the truth. I couldn't say nothing. I don't even know if I apologize yet. I may do it one day. But it's, y'all know what I'm talking about. But you can't argue with evidence. But if you can show somebody in the moment, you're doing it. I'm the most laid-back person in the world. No, you're not. What do you mean I'm not the most laid-back person in the world? I'm tired of having this conversation. You're doing it. How's that working for you? You got to have evidence. After evidence, you got to have relevance. Nothing makes sense until it becomes relevant. You can point people's actions out all day long, but it has to become relevant. Relevance is this. How does it make sense to me? A couple weeks ago, I was laughing because Barbara stayed home from church because Isaiah said he was sick. And then by the end of that second service, he was outside shooting ball with his little buddy, and she done posted and put it out there. And I thought back when I was 11 years old, church, I don't care if Jesus came in with the newest Jordans on. I didn't want to hear no church. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense. I knew our preacher was a hooping preacher. And when he got to the end, said, he will pick you up. He'll turn you around. And they say, yeah, yes, he will. Everybody going nuts. I knew. This is for me. They got toe up. But for me, I knew he was about finished. I knew. I'm about to go home now. I'm going back home where I came from. I mean, and everybody was getting tired. I said, yes, we're about to go home. We're about to go to the park and hoop. It's about time. I was ready to go. It did not make sense to me until I got my own job. And the preacher was preaching. And on Monday morning, I had a tough presentation that my confidence needed to be up because I got a family to take care of. I got responsibility. And I heard that preacher preach on God will give you confidence. And at the end, he said, he will pick you up. And I said, yes, he will. He'll turn you around. God, I need you to turn me around. By Monday morning, I'm preaching up there with him. I'm expecting great things. But it did not make sense to me what was presented until I had evidence, and it did not become relevant until I had responsibility. So in order to make data stick, in order to make a point come home, it's got to be relevant. So you've got to speak in the terms of the person you're speaking to. The next thing is consequence. We cringe when we hear consequence. But the reality is consequence does this. It reveals two paths. And I ask myself this question. Am I walking towards my destiny or am I walking towards my downfall? That's all consequence is. And consequences, I'll get to in a minute. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, failure is not final. Somebody ought to praise God right there. I failed a lot of times. Lost 2 scholarships. Still graduated. And I'm here today by the grace of God. And the last thing is this, action. You got to have a clear moment where you make a decision of this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you in Scripture how this worked in every part of our life. Can I talk about evidence for a moment? Evidence is this, where you capture behavior to do a reality check. You ever wonder how people can be so clear in pointing out other people's flaws but can't see their own? I'm going to talk to this side right here. I wonder how people, they know everybody else. They know they traveling, they doing this. This is why their kids ain't working. This is why their relationship ain't working. And then they go home screaming at each other. Yeah. Evidence is what we need. We need examples of what right looks like. James chapter 1, verse 16 through 17 is on the screen. You can follow me there in the Bible. And I want to show you how the evidence stage works. It says, do not be deceived, my dear brothers and my dear sisters. The important part there is Don't be deceived. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I'm glad that God is not shady. God is not shaky. He is not two-faced. God does not change who he is. Verse 18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Here's the challenge. It says, do not be deceived. Here's the honest thing. As people, we have an unlimited capacity for self-deception. We deceive ourselves because we know our potential. We know what we have the ability to do. We have great things. As a matter of fact, your faith is based on your potential, what it can be. I'm praising God now for this church because I see us in 2020. I see us in the future. I see where we're going. Where we are right now, I saw this in 2009. I saw this band right here. Some of you have heard the story. I saw this band when we had no band, when we had soundtracks playing. I remember we bought a keyboard before we had a musician because I believe by faith we were going to get it, because I believe if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. So you got to get in faith for it. But here's the challenging part: when you're so far in this dream world that you don't check your reality. And you got to balance the two, because here's what I believe. I believe, honestly, as humans, when we find out we're wrong, that we'll take classes, we'll go get help. I believe that. I believe as humans that we want to change. Sometimes we prove the contrary, but I believe that most people don't want to stay stuck. So I believe that if we are stuck, it's because we don't know how to get unstuck. Here's how you do that reality trick between your potential and between your reality. Let me ask you a question. How many of y'all been drunk in here before? No, I'm just playing. I'm just joking. They're like, I had to drive him in here this morning. I'm still not sure he's sober. You may be tipsy in here right now, but it's all right. You're in the right place at the right time. Here's the reality. If you've been drinking and driving, right, they'll get you out of the car, and they do a sobriety check. And they say, can you put one foot in front of the other? And you got to watch. I watched this one guy on Facebook. He said, I'd do it if I wasn't drunk. They just handcuffed put him in the back of the car. Like, just tell on yourself. Put your hand on your nose. So you got to have a sobriety check to see if you're drunk. I believe life has to be the same way. You got potential, but there has to be a sobriety check. There has to be evidence of what you're doing. Does it match what you want? Here's the thing. Here's the sobriety check. It's right there in the scripture. It says, every good and perfect gift comes from above. So a good father gives good gifts. Comes from the Father of lights. It comes from the Father of great things. Here's a statement that I want you to take down. God is good, and my gift is good. But just because God is good and my gift is good doesn't mean I'm good. Can I talk about God for a minute? God's good because he's good. We say all the time, God is good all the time and all the time. Do you realize God's not good because you're good? Even when you're bad, God is still good. God made a decision before to be good before you ever did a thing. God is not human. Somebody say, God's not human. Think about humans. If you're bad to us, we're going to be bad to you. God said, I don't care how bad you are, I'm still good. Anybody ever had a cold so bad that you couldn't taste your food? Was the food the problem, or was your taste buds? If life don't taste good right now, it ain't because God ain't good. It's because God needs to work something out on the inside of you, because you can all taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody say, God is good. Anybody testify that even when you've been bad, God's still been good? Anybody be honest and say, I don't know why you keep blessing me, but you bless me because you're good and not because I'm good. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Now, not only is God good, but your gift is good. The Bible says every good and perfect gift. Your gift comes to you perfect. The best way I can describe this, we got one of the baddest organ players back here. And let's say this organ, he can work this organ. If you ain't ever been to church, he is a churchman, a church organ. Let's say this organ is the gift, right? Keith, I want you to take me to church. Play me a little. Give me a church chord there. They about to get toe up here. Just give me a church. Somebody woke up right there. You just had that little fake quicken. Hey, give me a little more there. He ain't said nothing. He just working his gift. You know, I actually have scripture for that. David said, he caused my fingers to do battle. Keith, let me do a little battle, a little more with your fingers there. Go for it. I no more church. Would y'all, if this is the gift is good. Keith just wore this organ out, right? What's the difference? Same gift, two different people. He knows how to work it. I don't. I can't blame the gift. I gotta learn how to use the gift. What does it say? Don't hate the player, hate the game. And learn how to work the game that the player is playing. You gotta learn how to work what God gave you, because what God gave you is good. And your gift will work wherever if you know how to work it. It'll work in Shelbyville. It'll work in Murfreesboro. It'll work in Florida. It'll work in California. Why? Because the gift is good. And the blessing doesn't have a zip code. I don't care if you go into the worst place in the world. Your gift will work. Missy Elliott used to have a song that said, it'll work if you're working. And your gift is the same. God is good. Your gift is good. But just because God is good, and just because your gift is good, doesn't mean you're good. Some of the best sermons of my life that I've ever preached, I went home and was depressed. Some of the best moments of my life, I couldn't enjoy them. Why? Because I wasn't good. And we fool ourselves into believing that we're good because what we're doing is good. And God said, I want you to do good, but I want you to be good. And in this age where have you ever noticed that nobody puts an ugly picture up on social media? We put our best picture. You don't. That's the same thing we do. We put our best image forward. But the reality is, I want your life to look as pretty as your post.
All right.
I want your family to look as beautiful as that moment you captured. That's what God wants us. So you need evidence. The evidence is the reality check. God's goodness. My gift is good, but are you good? Next stage is this. It's the relevant stage. Nothing makes sense until we can see it work. How does my current behavior impact what I want? We said it. Can y'all do me a favor? If you got a phone and you got some notes, write this down. What is the great thing you're expecting? I'll tell you what I'm expecting. I'm expecting another tool in our hand. I'm expecting us to build another building. I'm expecting more of you. I'm expecting great things to happen in this ministry. We're on Facebook Live now, but I'm expecting to be on TBN and the Word Network one day. I want to do 20 marriages this year. I get excited right there. I'm expecting to see some of you sign professional contracts. I'm expecting to see debt paid off. What are you expecting? I want you to write it down, because this is what's going to happen. I'm going to do my behavior in line of what I expect. All right? It has to make sense. Things make sense through Selah moments. I was reading the Bible one day, and at the end of it, it said Selah. I'm like, man, that's a church word. I'm going to use that and sound deep one day and just use my Selah. Like, he, I don't know what he done studied, but that sound deep, Pastor. You know what Selah means? Stop, pause, think about it. Things don't become relevant until you Selah. Stop, pause, and think about it. Here's what it says in James 1:19. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Amen. We can be closing out right there. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Here's the thing. Before you try to justify yourself, ask this. Is what I'm doing going to produce what I want? You got to be slow. You got to be quick to listen. Get some understanding. Before you jump off, before you pop off of somebody, listen.
Yeah.
Look at your neighbor and say, listen.
Listen.
Yeah, I like Mr. Miyagi. Danielson. Listen. You got to listen. And the challenge for many of us, we don't listen to nobody. We have to humble ourselves and listen to get an understanding. Then it says slow to speak. You don't just speak out of passion. You speak intelligently. I have spoken so ignorantly. I used to preach some hard sermons. I preach sermons on sin. I believe sin is wrong. But that was before I'd experienced anything. And I'd be up there condemning people. And I'd be like, you're horrible. I can't believe you're sitting up there dating that fool. That's what's wrong with you now. All this stuff until I made my own foolish decisions. Until I needed God to rescue me. And anybody ever been there before? Did you place judgment on something? Never say what you would never do. Because you don't never know. Put in certain situations. You don't know what you have the proclivity to do. You can lie. You can cheat. You can do all of those things. Before you look down your nose, nose at somebody. And before you point your finger at somebody, know you got three fingers pointing back at you, and you got one that can go up to God. You got to know that you know that. Watch this. We all need the grace of God. So become slow to speak. And it said become slow to anger. I don't think that just means anger. I think that means your emotions. You got to filter your emotions through your intentions. Because here's the thing. How many of y'all said some stuff out of anger? You can never get those words back. You're trifling, no good. And you all that, you feel in the blank right there. Beep, beep. I don't have a beep. You can't get that back. I know you can't get it back. You can apologize. And watch this. Here's the reality. We cannot go back to what was. You can't. You don't call them a fool. You don't say everything in the world. You cannot go back there. But from here forward, I'm going to filter my anger before I speak. I may think it's the dumbest thing in the world, but I'm going to speak great things. I'm expect you do. You can make great decisions. This is what you can do. Because watch this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So get your heart right. So you got to make it relevant, whatever you're saying. The next thing is this. I'm going to get where I'm going. You got to know the consequences. Consequences reveal path of destiny or downfall. The word consequence makes most of us just, if I told you before, you keep sinning, all right? Your sin will find you out. And about five of you done slid a text to your girlfriend and broke up with her, then held your wife's hand. You got, you know, all this stuff, you all right? You got all this thing going on. You know what consequences are? Who's got kids in here? Who's got kids? If your kid messes up, who determines the consequence? Who determines how long the consequence is? We serve a loving God that his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. We serve a God that the punishment only lasts as long. And watch this. When God gives you a consequence, it isn't to humiliate you. It's to humble you. God is not interested in humiliating you. Let me show you in Scripture how consequence works. James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Consequence, two forms. First is sin. When you sin is horrible, it is. But here's the thing about sin. You can repent. You can say, God, this is not the way. I'm going to try your way. You know what God does when you repent? He covers you. Because you know how I know? Because most of the horrible sins, if we rank sins that you ever committed, nobody knows about. I'm going to let that sit there for a minute. Most of the stuff that's really happening in your life, most people don't know. We give people the PG version of our testimony. But I'm going to date myself and go back to when you used to have video stores. Do y'all remember that room in the back that you couldn't get in unless you were 18? And that's when you could smoke in stores and it smelled like just smoke and all this stuff like that and just all kind of stuff. That's where our real testimony is. It's in that door that God seals it off that nobody will ever know about. He said, I'll throw your sins into a sea, never to be reminded again. And if somebody ever wants to dig up your past, tell them, I hope you don't drown, because God dug it so deep in the sea. Because if he didn't want to remember it, why do you want to bring it back up?
All right.
God covers us. Because some of us are not on our second chance. We're on our third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Anybody thank God for covering us? But here's the challenge. When you sin, you humbly repent. God, this is not the way. But there's another problem called pride. The scripture says, humbly accept the word of God. The opposite of humble is pride. And many of us struggle with admitting we are wrong. We won't apologize. We won't say we're wrong. If we find out something is right, we'll change, right? Just so we won't look wrong. Pride will not repent. Pride will not say, I'm sorry. Some of you know God done convicted you to say, so I ain't. I ain't saying it today, say it, God. That just me and you just going to have this agreement right here. Because pride, watch this, that's why the only thing that really gets pride's attention is failure. You ever talk to somebody and they won't listen to a word you said, and you had to step back and let them go through it? And you know you're going to be there to help them, but you said, you got to go through this because you're going to learn today. God does many of us like that because we won't listen, and he says, I want you to humble yourself. God's failure is not final. It's just God's way of getting your attention. And the moment you humble yourself, do you know why Satan got kicked out of heaven? It wasn't because he was sleeping with angels. It ain't because he got a fourth of the angels high. He wasn't the Nino Brown of heaven. That ain't why Satan got kicked out. He didn't get kicked out because of moral failure. He got kicked out because of pride. Isaiah 14, or I can't remember where it is, he said, I will exalt my throne above the heaven. I will make my name great. Pride is what got Satan dethroned from heaven. Pride is what brings us down. And here's what God says. I want you to humble yourself so you can make a decision. Do you want to just look good or do you want to be good? Because watch this. Consequences are real. Watch this. Even if you fail, God still has the right path available for you. It is not the end of the world. Ask me how I know. Can we be honest in here? Because I have made mistakes in life, and God still lets me preach. God still lets me live under his anointing and his grace. Can y'all stop in here and know that you've made some pride mistakes? Where you know you were wrong, and God still helped you. God still sustained. Can we just give God praise for that right there? Last thing, and I'm through. You got to have the action. After you know the evidence, you know that you see the relevance, then you have the other point that I had. What is the other point I had here? Y'all talk. Consequence stage, yes, God. And then the last thing is this, the action of self-correction. There must be a clear moment where you have an individual says, Selah, this isn't working. You make a choice and you act. Verse 22 says this, it's on the screen. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed. Yeah. Here's the ultimate goal. What's the great thing that you wrote down? That's what I want. Everything I do is in line with what I want. That's my desired behavior. That's the speed limit. And everything I do, I measure it by that. After I see what I'm doing, I do everything in light of what I want. And then I have a Selah moment, even when I get angry. Is this going to produce my destiny or is this going to produce my downfall? Before you do this, can I tell you, you are going to be tested. But when you are tested, you don't have to give in. What do I want? Next thing is this. I consider my two routes, destiny or downfall. Then I choose the route that will take me to my destiny. It happens that simple. How many are expecting great things? Here's my whole challenge today. I want you to do what's going to take to get you to your destiny and not your downfall. Stand to your feet all over the building. I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting great things for your life. I want you for a moment in here while they get ready to bring this song in. If you got to repent of pride, and some of you in here, God has convicted you to apologize, and you've been acting a donkey. I mean, you just know there's some things that you got to humble yourself and learn. There's some things you got to humble yourself and be teachable. In this moment, I want you to get it right with God first.